to say. If you're afraid, then come on with me. And I know what you came here to do. Now, so let me see you get loose.
It's going down for real.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome, everybody, on this Tuesday to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR. I'm Jim Donovan, happy to be sitting across from Matt Wilhelm on this Tuesday as Nathan Zagora is off this week, and Matt sits in with me today, and Nathan off for the rest of the week. But we are in that period of time around Berea where we are just itching to get ready for the start of training camp, and last night, I'll tell you, I was never so ready waiting for the start of training camp as I was when I sat and watched the Indians play last night.
I bet.
And then I said, wow, the Houston Astros pounding the Indians with 9 runs on 16 hits. It's time to have one of the free public access practices out in Berea. Let's have one right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's a tough time, especially for Browns fans or for sports fans, because you've got the Indians, and I think nothing against the Indians themselves, but the game of baseball, and as slow as it is,
right?
In between a fast-paced Cavs season and the way they finished,
unbelievable,
and then the ever-passionate Browns fans that show up in numbers, you know, each and every weekend, they're ready.
Yes, they are. Now, yesterday during the show, we came out with the Browns announcement that the training camp rules and regulations and availability and the first free practice of 11 that will be here in Berea beginning July 30th on that Thursday morning, 9:30 to noon. You can go online, and that's what I'm advising you, and I know Matt would too, over to clevelandbrowns.com for all of your information.
Yes.
About registering and getting a ticket. It's not going to cost you anything, but it just makes sure you get through that gate and get in on the day that you want to do that. So we know that we're on the internet and people can listen to the show, and a lot of people do from around the country as far as being Cleveland Browns fans, and they may say, hey, listen, I am planning a pilgrimage.
Yes.
You know, a religious pilgrimage to Berea to check out my favorite team in the NFL. So I want to make sure, first of all, that they're practicing that day, and second of all, that I can get in. And the way to do that is to go to clevelandbrowns.com.
It definitely is. ClevelandBrowns.com or the Browns mobile app. I believe the dates are the 14th through the 17th is the window that opens for registration.
14th through the 16th.
14th right through now. The 16th, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. But you know what? Even our guy, Cam from Canada, who reached us yesterday, he has, you know, spoken to us many times on this show, calling in and said that he has plans to come down to one of the practices.
Oh,
so he looks for, you know, our broadcast to meet us for the first time because he's a very loyal listener and caller.
He really is. Our telephone number is 216-578-0850. Okay, I'm going to throw a couple of things at you, Matt Wilhelm,
sure.
Today. We talked about a little bit right at the end of the show yesterday about the fascinating project that is Terrell Pryor.
Yes.
So lo and behold, on ProFootballTalk.com today, there was an item about Terrell Pryor and him coming out and saying basically he thinks that he can be a great wide receiver in the NFL. Not a good wide receiver,
right.
Not a guy that just makes the roster. He thinks he can be a great wide receiver and that he's a great athlete, and I don't argue with him on that he's a great athlete, and that he's working very, very hard to get in supreme condition. He's doing it with Antonio Brown from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I believe Randy Moss is involved,
yes,
in the workouts too. He's running like 6 miles a day, he said, in the sand,
yep,
on the beach to get ready. And I throw this out to you because we only kind of scraped the surface of this yesterday. But you said that there's a lot to look at with Terrell Pryor, that he offers you an instant package. And then that's the new thing in the NFL. I mean, remember there was a Seneca Wallace package,
yes,
here in Cleveland. There was a Josh Cribbs package. Last year at the beginning of the year, Nathan and you, every week we're talking at the beginning of the year, when is the Manziel package?
The Johnny package.
When's the Johnny package,
yes,
going to go in? Now, there is a Terrell Pryor package that you see if he is really committed to becoming a wide receiver, and I think this is his only way into the NFL now, if you see a lot of potential there.
I definitely do. And I read that same article, Jim, on Pro Football Talk. That's a great resource for me to go for legitimate NFL news around the league. And I read the article, and it talked about Terrell Pryor, in most cases, was talking up himself about his work ethic and that anything he dedicates his mind to, he will achieve. And now that he has made that position change to the wide receiver position, he focused on the laundry list of things that he needs to get better at, now that he's playing the wide receiver, that's, you know, his speed out of his cuts, his breaks, being able to go up and grab that ball to be able to catch the ball in a crowd. And if you look at the Cleveland Browns roster, and a guy that Nathan and I have talked about, and Nathan, you know, more so than I, Rodney Smith.
Right.
You know, 6'5", big physical, potential
Absolutely.
Red zone target.
Yes.
He's one of the guys that still has practice squad eligibility, because you might not want to let him go and let someone else grab him off your practice squad, or if you do, in fact, release him. But he's a guy a lot like Terrell Pryor, big physical athlete, that are going to be competing against each other for that sixth wide receiver spot, as well as Travis Benjamin, the speedster, who can also be a punt returner. So when I look at Terrell Pryor from a defensive standpoint, I just think of all the ways he could hurt me as a defender, or if I were a defensive coordinator, that there are many players. You look at Ohio State, Jalen Marshall and the way he was used down the stretch, or Dontre Wilson. When they line up in a certain formation in a certain spot, it's, you know, you're waving red flags, alarm should go off in your head as a defender. And I just thought, if you want to add that wrinkle to this offense, an offense that's going to run the football a lot of the time and be strategic and judicious with their ability to throw the football down the field, he gives you a wrinkle to extend a drive. He gives you a wrinkle to keep that defense off kilter. And then every time thereafter he comes on the field, it's an alarm to that team, but also, too, as you move forward, every defense moving forward will have to watch that film and be ready for that package.
Marlon Moore would also be a guy that I would have to take a look at and say that Marlon Moore, by trade, is a wide receiver. And, you know, to make any NFL roster, and certainly this one in Cleveland he made.
Yes.
And that was because he was a superb special teams guy. And he was a force as a kickoff returner. And I know it's something now that's going to be really battled for, that return position here with the Browns, because you're going to throw Duke Johnson into the mix too, the rookie from
He'll
Miami.
He'll be the kick returner,
He's going to be the kickoff returner. Marlon Moore did a lot of that last year. And then there's the punt returning job that's going to be out there too. Will Benjamin get another chance after having kind of a – he kind of had the yips.
He did. Some of the bodies that have been practicing as a punt returner thus far in the offseason in OTA's minicamp is Taylor Gabriel's been back there. Tremont Williams, who did it in Green Bay, has been back there as well. And even Justin Gilbert, a position that we thought, what better way to build this kid's confidence and get him – and we saw what he could do with the ball in his hands on his interception return for a touchdown against the Colts, but – how can we get him some confidence and get more value for him on the football field?
So let's get back to Pryor. And do you think that Pryor looks at guys now like Josh Cribbs and had a very successful career coming out of Kent State as a quarterback, and a quarterback that could do a lot of things, run and do a lot of things, and then became an instant NFL superstar in the return game and on special teams? So Pryor looks at a guy like Cribbs, who had a very good career, nice career, but a guy like Julian Edelman, who is now having a huge career, again, a quarterback at Kent State. Hines Ward was a quarterback at Georgia, and there are others too. And do you think he looks at them and says, well, listen, I can do that.
Yeah.
And I think I can even be better.
Sure. And if he's not looking at them, he should, because I believe at least this year, as he makes that transition, if there is, in fact, legs behind him being a wide receiver in the National Football League and no longer playing quarterback, it's going to have to be that package play. I just don't see Terrell Pryor or anyone making that position shift in 1 year from quarterback to wide receiver and being able to get open seven, eight, nine times out of 10, which a wide receiver needs to do to get actual game reps once the real season starts.
Will he have any advantage, and do those other guys that I mentioned, Cribbs, Edelman, Hines Ward when he did it, coming out of Georgia and then going to the Steelers and having what looks like a Hall of Fame career there, will he have any advantage because he was a quarterback and he understands what a quarterback is looking for from the other end?
Absolutely, and to your point, as you mentioned Josh Cribbs, there were times where we would come out and break the huddle with Josh Cribbs in the huddle as well as a quarterback, but that quarterback would align very wide,
yes,
keep him out of harm's way. Right. It'd be a direct snap to Josh Cribbs. He'd either do the zone read or he'd take it and run it, you know, right up the gut following a pulling guard.
Right.
That's a situation I could see Terrell Pryor playing with Josh McCown or Johnny Manziel. What about Johnny Manziel and Terrell Pryor on the field at the same time in their own little package? You know, it's a little bit, you know,
and in that package, that would be the one package that the NFL would allow a couple of footballs on the field, just the one football. Yeah. We would use two.
But just again, as today's world, today's young people, who play fantasy football and they dive into those Madden fanatics. These are all scenarios that they dream up via video game that they get excited about when that scenario actually becomes reality in a football game. And when you have a guy that can play two positions or has played quarterback and now receiver, it just brings up the availability to throw the football.
Well, when I was reading his career, you know, and I did a little kind of brush up on Pryor, and of course I remember the Ohio State stuff, but then he went to the Raiders, and, you know, there were times where he was kind of effective.
Yes.
When they really tailored the right kind of game plan to him.
Correct.
And allowed him to run, and they ran a little bit, and, you know, that was interesting. But then he really became very traveled after that.
Yes,
Seattle, Kansas City. I might be missing a stop, Cincinnati. And then, of course, he leaves Cincinnati, gets cut by them, and that's when he makes the commitment now to become a wide receiver. So out there, how much time, Matt, do the Browns have in training camp with all of their other issues, and with the most important point being that their offense probably, I think we all believe right now, their defense is going to be ahead of their offense
yes.
at the start of the year, maybe throughout the year, but certainly at the beginning of the year. How much time and patience do they have to really investigate the Pryor project, and I think that's a great name for it, the Terrell Pryor project, and not rob yourself of getting everybody else, those guys that you mentioned, that they know a lot more about. They know a lot more about Rodney Smith now because he's been hanging around here a while.
I think the time invested in the Pryor project, as we'll call it, may in fact not necessarily be within the hours of the actual practice, if that doesn't make sense. Oh. It'll be John DeFilippo and Terrell Pryor walking out to practice 15, 20 minutes early.
Yeah, the walkthrough.
Yeah, the walkthrough or 15 or 20 minutes after practice, which means Terrell would, you know, kind of chomp down on his break, you know, in between two practices. And they would walk through and talk through his routes as a wide receiver, what John DeFilippo is looking for in him as a wide receiver, and then potentially that Pryor package. So that might be Pryor and a few of the young wide receivers all being out there and walking through what that Pryor, you know, wrinkle might look like in this offense.
So what do you give it? What kind of percentage do you give it? 50-50?
Yeah, 50-50 is a good percentage.
50-50?
I do.
Well, that's a giant leap for him.
It is.
To be out of the NFL, basically, after Cincinnati says, not going to work out here. He makes the declaration right after that. That, listen, I'm going to be a wide receiver. The Browns give him the call, or he gives them the call, and they say, yeah, all right, come on to camp. And 50-50, that's pretty good.
It is pretty good. And I think the one key factor here, as you've mentioned, Marlon Moore, you have to weigh how much is he actually going to play at wide receiver, because we know we're going to get as a special teamer. You have to do the same with Travis Benjamin. Now that we've got Bo, Hartline, Hawkins, Gabriel, and Maley,
right?
How much time is he actually going to see at wide receiver? And we know he's kind of questionable at punt returner, even though he may have improved. You have to weigh the good and bad with all these. Then with Pryor, can Pryor actually play wide receiver?
Yeah.
But if he can't, how intriguing is that Pryor project or that Pryor package with him? And is it viable in today's NFL for us to use it to an advantage?
In the way out there world, let's play it another step.
Sure.
You would not, if the project seemed to work, okay, he could still always, he still has quarterback
yes.
skills. And what I'm getting to here is you could only carry two quarterbacks on the active roster.
Right.
And if you had him, then, you know, the next thing you know, you have a guy who's there who has quarterback skills, unique ones, that would totally change your, you know, your outlook on the offense and the way you're going to execute it. But, I mean, he fills a roster spot, but he fills almost two or three it works.
Are you leaning towards carrying one quarterback because you have a guy like Terrell Pryor?
No, I think you got to carry two.
You got to carry
two.
Yeah, and that's the happy medium that you have
see,
to play.
See, that was always the thing with Cribs.
Right.
Is that when you had Cribs, you know, you could carry – you never had to think, well, should we carry three?
Right.
I mean, you know, with the roster being what it is right now. And the answer was, well, no, we have the two, and then you have Cribs.
You do.
And the Cribs would actually take snaps, as you mentioned, and run certain plays in the offense out of a quarterback spot.
This is an unrealistic scenario that I'll throw out there, kind of like on the thought of my last – my last kind of mini thought there with my question back to you was, what if Pryor being able to play quarterback but now making that transition to wide receiver is you go, could you possibly go McCown, Pryor, and know you have Connor Shaw in your practice squad available any given week to be your true backup quarterback in this system, which would mean no Johnny Manziel.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was just going to say.
Right.
So you would be
I'm not saying that's reality. I'm just saying that's a scenario that could play out where you carry one, You have Pryor on your active roster potentially, and you could bring up Connor Shaw whenever you want, and we know what we have in Connor Shaw.
And I like Connor Shaw.
I know.
I really do.
A lot of people love Connor Shaw. You have to love the grit that he played with last year.
All right. Well, if you out there have any thoughts on that, are you intrigued by this Terrell Pryor situation and Pryor coming out on ProFootballTalk.com today and saying, listen, I'm going to be the real deal at wide receiver. I'm not going to be a good receiver. I'm going to be a great wide receiver. So that really, he kind of has thrown down the gauntlet there.
Yes.
That he's not coming to Berea just to, you know, wear the uniform. He wants to wear it on opening day. We'll take a break. We have a lot more to talk about. Doug Deacon joins us in studio, no less. My partner on the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. John Mullen from Comcast Sportsnet, CSNChicago.com joins us. We're going to talk about the Bears. We talked about the Buccaneers yesterday, and the Browns always end the preseason against the Bears, and we'll do so again this year. New coach there in Chicago. And we hope to talk to you along the way as we continue counting down towards training camp in Berea here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. 'Cause you're a sky.